那如果有的时候我们突然感觉到索然无味了，我们也不要感到过于的惊讶。
Krishna is waiting for this.
因为 Krishna 他是等着的，知道这一刻会发
So this is what Lord Chaitanya wants to talk about today.
所以呢，这也是今天 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所要谈到的一个话题。
How Krishna responds to bhakti with material desires.
就是对于这种掺杂着世俗欲望的 bhakti 份爱 ，Krishna 是如何回应的？
Lord Chaitanya says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shubhudi Yate Hoy Dada Bhakti Yoge Tabe Krishnara Bhajai. Due to bad association, the living entity desires material happiness, liberation, or merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna.
那么接下来呢，释迦牟尼佛他不是说了这样一段话，就是由于不良的涟漪，生物体呢就渴求物质的快乐、解脱，或者是融入主的非人格的光灿之中，或者呢？去从事玄秘的瑜伽修习，以求物质的力量。如果这样的人能够真的变得具有智慧，那么他就会向主 Krishna 做出强烈的奉献服务，会接受 Krishna 之觉。
So here an important word is if a person actually becomes intelligent.
那在这里就是说到，就是说，如果一个人真的升起了智慧
，and intelligence in Sanskrit is buddhi，
这个智慧在梵文里面叫做 buddhi。
Sorry, the birds are making a lot of noise。
因为这个鸟呢在外面叽叽喳喳的很吵，所以我就把它赶走了。
So here it's not just intelligence.Buddhi, it's called subuddhi, which means very intelligent.
那这里的这个智慧呢，不仅仅只是 buddhi 而已，其实还是 subuddhi。subuddhi 的意思呢，就是说极其的智慧。
Like we have our devotee Subuddhi Roy Prabhu.
比如说我们有一个奉献者，他的名字是 Subuddhi Roy Prabhu.
Subuddhi Roy, he always looks like a little child.
Subuddhi Roy 呢，总是看上去像一个小男孩。
He has the face of an angel.
他的这个脸看上去就像是天使一样。
He's always smiling, he's always happy.
他看上去总是非常的开心的，总是的面带笑容。
Everything he does in Krishna consciousness makes him happy.
在 Krishna 世界当中所做的一切都让他非常的喜悦。
So definitely he is very intelligent.
所以毫无疑问的，他是非常有智慧的人。
So this intelligenceHas to come from somewhere.
那么这个智慧呢，它一定是有来源的。
And last week we also spoke about this following verse, which is Akama sarvakamova moksha kama udara viti vrena bhakti yogena yajetam purusham paranam. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether one desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only.If he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service.
上周我们也提到了这样的一段话，意思就是说，无论一个人是充满着欲望，还是无欲无求，无论他是否是希望能够融入主的存在，那么如果说他能够去崇拜主 Krishna 至尊人格守神，并且将他做出超然的爱心服务，那么他才能被称为真正的智者。
So this intelligence is, it doesn't matter what I desire. Even if I still have material desires, even if I have selfish desires, I should always be engaged in rendering some service to Krishna.
那么这个智慧与你内心当中还有没有欲望无关，不管是你还有这个 内心中还有物质欲望，还有还是内心当中没有达到完全的纯粹，那只要是你能够为总是在不同的这个程度上，应当为 Krishna 去从事一定的份爱服务，那这样才能算得上是有智。
Then Lord Chaitanya says, Krishna kahe, which Krishna says, Ama bhaje mage vishaya sukha, amrita chadi visha mage e bhada murka. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time,wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison.
Krishna 就是在这里说到呢，如果一个人一方面在从事对我的超然的奉爱服务，但与此同时呢，又渴求物质享受的富裕，那么他就是非常非常愚蠢的。事实上，他就像这样的一个人，他放弃了神赐的甘露，却饮下了毒药。
So, in other words, you're engaged in devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, etc., associating, but at the same time you cultivate material desires. How foolish is that?
那换句话说呢，就是说一个人他在投入到这个念诵啊、聆听啊，然后意念啊和崇拜 Krishna， 然后和奉献者联谊，这所有的这些奉献服务当中，但是与此同时呢，却还是在培养这种物质的这种欲望，物质欲望越来越强，那就是的确是愚蠢至极的了。
You can argue, well, I like Krishna consciousness, but I still have material attachment. I'm sorry.
但是你可能会反驳说呢，很抱歉，我的确是喜欢 Krishna 知觉，但是我还是有一些物质的欲望，那怎么办呢？
I'm attached to my comfort.
我也非常的依附我现在的这种舒适的生活条件。
I'm attached to my family.
我的家庭。
I'm attached to the way I look.
还有我的这个外表。
I'm attached to my money.
有我的这个财富。
I still have some kami friends.
我还有这么几个 kami 非奉献者的朋友。
I don't mind watching movies every now and then.
这个时不时的看点电影呢也没什么问题。
You know, I need to relax a little bit.
有的时候是需要这个放松一下的。
I don't mind if sometimes I don't even offer my food.
那有的时候我不奉送这个 Krishna 这个食物。我好像也无所谓。
Well, I don't have to wake up early every morning if I'm tired.
那如果说我累了，早上也不一定非得早起吧。
It doesn't matter if I don't read Prabhupada's books all the time.
没关系啊，如果说我不怎么看Srila Prabhupada的书籍的话，也没什么大不了的。
So these things are creeping into our mind.
所以呢，就是这种东西就是悄无声息的就潜入到我们的意识里面。
We have to understand one thing.Prabhupada used to say, once a devotee, always a devotee.
那有一句话我们要记住，就是Srila Prabhupada他说呢，就是一时的奉献者，就是永远的奉献者。
And it doesn't matter how much Maya we want to be in, we cannot forget Krishna consciousness.
就是不管是你多么想投入Maya虚幻能量的怀抱，你自始至终还是忘不了Krishna知觉的。
Unless we become very offensive.
除非我们冒犯很大。
If we commit offenses, then Krishna is going to take us out of the crowd of devotees, put us into a corner, just like when you are naughty in the classroom, and let us think about this.
如果是我们真的做了什么冒犯的话， Krishna 会做出安排，他会把我们从这个奉献者的群体里逼了出来，然后给你搁到一个角落里面，就好像是一个顽皮的孩子在上课的时候吵闹一样，就被老师呢就给请出教室了。
Sometimes devotees, one devotee will do something really stupid.
有的时候，有的奉献者会做出非常愚蠢的事情。
Thinking that they are really smart.
然后还自作聪明。
And suddenly they disappear.
然后突然间你会看到他消失了。
So we may think, ah, they gave up Krishna consciousness.
然后我们可能会以为啊，他们放弃了 Krishna 知觉。
No, you cannot give up Krishna consciousness. It's Krishna who is pulling them out, putting them into a separate space so they can think for themselves, look into their hearts, and when they're ready, they can come back in the association of the Lord.
Krishna 做出的安排 ，Krishna 呢就让他们离开了，把他们找出来，让把他们带离了这个奉献者的联谊的这个群体，而把他们放在一个单独的这么一个角落里面，让他面壁思过，去反省自身。那等他呢，就是醒觉过来、醒悟过来之后 ，Krishna 又会把他放回到奉献者之中的。
So what does Krishna say to such a foolish person?
那对于这样的愚蠢的人 ，Krishna 说了什么样的话呢
？Ami vidya emurke vishaya teni diva svacharanamrita iya vishaya buleva. Since I am very intelligent, this is Krishna speaking. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this full material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet.And make him forget illusory material enjoyment.
那下面这一段话呢是 Krishna 本人说的。Krishna 他说，既然我如此的，既然我是那么的智慧，为什么我要给这个，我要给这个傻瓜物质的富裕呢？我应该去诱惑他，让他去品尝我的莲花族的。庇护的甘露，并且让他忘记虚幻的物质享乐。
I mean, it's kind of ironic that Krishna says I'm very intelligent.
ironic.
Yeah.
但是这里听起来有些逗，就是 Krishna 他自己说我非常的有智慧。
I mean, how can you measure Krishna's intelligence?
这个。Krishna 的这个智慧怎么能够衡量呢？那没法衡量。
But the point is that because Krishna is situated within everyone's heart, he can intervene any time. It's beyond our control. Krishna can just tell us what to do.
其实 Krishna 他在我们每个人的心中，这个是完全我们无法想象的。他随时呢，他都就可以介入，他就可以来干涉我们做他想做的事情。
And we see this over time and time again of devotees who fall into some material situation and seemingly they give up Krishna consciousness, but Krishna does not allow them to give up Krishna consciousness.
其实这种现象我们一次又一次地看到了，有一些奉献者似乎是就是跌落到了这个物质欲望当中了。好像看上去是把 Krishna 完全忘了，但是 Krishna 却不允许他们这样做。Krishna 并没有忘记他们。
So here it says, whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, because people will go to Krishna and say, please give me this, give me this, give me this, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which is after being enjoyed.Will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engaged in Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet when one will forget all other desires. Wait. So what does that mean? It means you may go to Krishna and you say, Krishna, I want this, I want this, which is not related to bhakti. Okay, Krishna will give you what you want.Now, if you think I can go back to Krishna regularly and get what I want, Krishna will not satisfy your desires. That's what it means.
那下面这段话呢，就是说呢，每当就是 Krishna 他被请求去满足某一个人欲望的时候，毫无疑问他也是会这样做的。但是呢，他不会去赐予这样的但是他不会去这样去满足一个人的愿望，就是当这个人的愿望得到了这个享受之后呢，他就会向 Krishna 祈求，一次一次的祈求去满足更多的愿望。当一个人他还有其他的欲望，但与此同时又去从事对主的奉爱服务的时候， Krishna 就会啊、强迫一个人，就会强迫一个人脱离于他的莲花族，让他完全的忘记他的欲望。那这句话的意思呢，就是说，一个人他很多人他们都会来到 Krishna 的面前去求这求那，求很多这个世俗的物质的好处，但与此同时他们可能也会做一些奉献服务，但 Krishna 是不会去轻易的去满足他们的这种物质欲望的，因为如果这个人他满足了这个欲望之后呢，他会升起这种贪婪之心，就会一而再再而三的去祈求更多的物质欲望，以至于他们完全的忘记了 Krishna。 那在这种情况下 Krishna 是不会去回应他们的。
So why is Krishna making such a strong statement?
为什么 Krishna 在这里呢，就是说出了这么斩钉截铁的一段话呢？
Because Krishna knows thatIf we want to become the best charitable person or the best pious person,
Krishna 的意思就是说，如果说我们想要做一个最具有慈善心的人，或者是最为虔诚的人，
or if we strive to become the best yogi,
或者呢，我们非常的努力，祈求有朝一日能够。成为一位最杰出的瑜伽大师。
Or if we strive to become the greatest jnani, the most knowledgeable person.
或者呢，非常努力的想成为一位最卓越的这个 jnani, 哲学思辨家。
Or if we want to become very austere.
或者呢，非常的苦行。
Even if we want to merge in the oneness of Krishna.
就算是我们想融入Krishna 与他合而为一，融入他之中。
These things are temporary.
那刚才所说的这些其实都是短暂的。
You may think you have achieved a very high level of consciousness, which you may have, but the point is you have to take birth again.
你可能会通过刚才所说的这些努力，可能感觉到自己的意识已经达到了非常高的这种境界了，但是问题就是说还是不究竟，你还是会再次的投生。
And we go on doing this birth after birth after birth.
而且呢，我们就是一世复一世的做着那些事情。
So we have to understand that when we come to a platform where we pay attention to Krishna consciousness, wow, Krishna is not going to let go this time.
所以说我们就是知道要。在一定的阶段的时候，你开始将你的注意力投向 Krishna 知觉的时候， Krishna 他是不会轻易的放过你的。
That's the reason why that even the slightest effort, Krishna pays attention.
所以说呢，即使是在我们在 Krishna 知觉道路上，即使是做出了非常微小的一个努力， Krishna 他也是不会忘记我们的。
And he pays so much attention that even though it may go to him with material desires, he is so eager to see his devotee that he will change that desire to become a spiritual desire.
就是说 Krishna 他是一直心心念念的关注着我们的，即便是我们带着这个接取的这种物质欲望接近了他，那 Krishna 他也会转变我们的欲望，把这种世俗物质的欲望转变成一种灵性的愿望。
So when we engage in devotional service for the satisfaction of our senses, but instead we acquire tastes for Krishna consciousness, then material desires they begin to disappear.
所以当我们带着感官上的愿望去从事 Krishna 知觉的这个活动的时候呢，我们逐渐的就会升起这个灵性的这个 Krishna 知觉的品味，而代之以了之前的这种感官享乐的这种愿望，这个时候呢，物质欲望呢，也就烟消云散了。
And at that point, we are not forced to. We voluntarily, with our hearts, we want to make progress.
而且在这个时候，你在 Krishna 世界上的进步呢，并不是强加在你身上的。你并不是说是被迫的被带着走的，而是说你内心当中已经有一种非常主动的这种强烈的愿望了。
Then Lord Chaitanya gives the example, very famous story of Dhruva Maharaj.
然后接下来 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢他就举了一个非常著名的例子就是 Dhruva Maharaj,
so,
Dhruva 大清的例子。
Hopefully we all know the story of Dhruva.
希望大家都知道这个有关于 Dhruva 的故事。
His father was married to two queens.
他的父亲呢有两个王后。
And he had a child with each queen.
然后呢他和其中的妻每一个妻子都生了一个孩子。
And Dhruva was the son of one queen who was a maidservant. Is it?
Not the maidservant. 那就是他的父亲呢就是说和其中的一个妻子就是说生下了 Dhruva,
yeah, his
mother was a maidservant. 他是一个女仆那么他就生下了这个 Dhruva Maharaj.
So when he sat on the lap of his father, his stepmother said, get off, you don't deserve to sit there.
那么就是他们有一次就是坐在他的父亲父王哈就这个国王的这个腿上。然后这个时候呢这个国王的另外一个妻子就上前来就是粗鲁地说你不能坐在你父亲的腿上你没有资格。
So, Dhruva was only 5 years old, he got very, very hurt.
那 Dhruva 呢当时他只有五岁的这个年纪还非常的小但是他非常的这个伤心极大的受伤了。
So he decided to go and perform austerities in the forest.
所以他就下定决心要到森林里面去苦行。
And his mother said to him, which 5 year old boy performs austerities? At your age, you're supposed to go and play.
那他的母亲就对他说，有哪个五岁的孩子会在这个年纪到森林里面去苦修呢？五岁大的这个孩子应该在外面玩耍才对。
But Dhruva was so determined. He had such a big natural desire that he wanted a kingdom greater.Than his grandfather's kingdom, which is the whole universe.
那如果呢，在这个时候内心当中就是充满了一个非常强大的一个愿望，这可以说是一个物质的一个愿望。他就是希望能够得到一个比他的祖父还有庞大的一个帝国，也就是说要比这个宇宙当中最大的帝国。
And this has always been the process for people who want to achieve things materially.In order to achieve them, they perform austerities.
这里有很多有很强的世俗的欲望，或者说他们想要去实现自己的物质目标的人，而他们经常要做的就是说要经历一些苦行。
Even today, people who want to achieve big success, making money, they have to perform austerities.
然后就算是今天我们看到那些想要发财致富的人，他也。得要经历很大的这个困难，就好比是修苦行一样，才能够满足他们的欲望。
So Narada Muni met Dhruva and he says, "Okay, you want to perform austerities? Go to this Madhuvan forest in Vrindavan."
那 Narada Muni 呢就见到他说，哦，你想苦行，那你就去这个 Madhuvan 森林吧，到那里去。
And I give you a mantra to chant.
我赐给你一个 mantra。
So Narada Muni is a pure devotee of Krishna.
Narada Muni, 我知道就是 Krishna 的一个纯粹的奉献者。
And he gave him a mantra, which is to chant the name of Krishna.
给他了一首 mantra, 就是让他去唱诵这个 Krishna 的圣名。
So it's not that Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest to chant just that mantra. He was still very, very determined to achieve his material goal.
那这个Dhruva Maharaj他到这个Madhuvan森林里面去，不是说只是去那里静下心来去那个念诵这个数的圣名就罢了。但他心里面当时还那个物质的这个目标还非常的大，他还心心念念想着要去实现他的物质欲望呢。
And even though Narada Muni told him, if you chant this mantra, you will meet the Supreme Lord, Dhruva Maharaj was thinking.Okay, I want to meet the Supreme Lord so he can grant me my material desire.
那么在这个那穆尼跟他说，你这样子去修习的话，你就能面对面的见到至尊主本人。当那穆尼这样说以后，朱瓦玛哈吉的心里面还是这么想着的。好啊，我当然要亲眼的见到了主了。当我见到主的时候，我就要 祈求他能够满足我的这个世俗的愿望。
So he went to the forest and he began to practice very, very austere yoga process.
然后呢，他就到了这个森林里了，开始是就是进行非常非常严苛的瑜伽苦修。
Gave up eating, gave up drinking, gave up breathing.
他先是不吃不喝的时候，然后又不喝水，然后又不呼吸啊。
The Supreme Lord appeared in front of him.
后来呢，这个至尊主真的是出现在他的面前了。
Because he kept repeating this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
因为他一直的在念这个 mantra, 就是 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
But when he broke his meditation and Lord Krishna was standing in front of him, Dhruva Maharaj could not say a single word. He didn't know what to do. He did not know what to say.
但是呢，当他经历了这么大的苦行，至尊主真的是回应了他的祈求，来到他跟前的时候，他当他亲眼的面对面的和主在一起的时候呢，他就呆若木鸡了，他这个哑口无言，不知道该说什么，也不知道自己在做什么。
Because to be standing in front of the Supreme Lord, then this is something you cannot expect.
因为站立在能够站立在至尊主的面前，这样的一种情景是一个人无法奢望的。
And there are many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam of different personalities who perform austerities, who perform meditation, and then they end up meeting the Supreme Lord. They don't know what to say.
在圣严国家瓦坛里面有很多。深度的这个冥想，或者是极大的这个苦行，然后呢，真的是见到了至尊主了，至尊主就站在他们的面前。但在那个时候，他们都不知道该说什么话了。
So there is a famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam when Lord Krishna wanted to offer benediction to Dhruva.
所以呢，就是在圣严婆伽瓦坛里面呢，就有这么一个非常著名的一个师节。就是在这个世界里面，就是说到了至尊主呢，他想这个赐福于这个Dhruva Maharaj。
Just like Prahlad, when Prahlad was asked Balami Singhadev, "Do you want any benediction?" Prahlad says, "No, I don't want any benediction."
那就好像是Prahlad Maharaj 一样，当你心海在询问他说你要我赐福你什么的时候，这个。Prahlad Maharaj 就说我不要任何的祝福。
But then he said, if you want to give me any benediction, I just pray that there will be no more material desires in my heart.
但是他最后就是说，如果你坚持要赐福于我的话，那我祈祷，就是我内心中的物质欲望都烟消云散。
So here Dhruva says, when he is being given blessing, he says, Oh my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position,I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I have gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons, and kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I found the most valuable jewel. Therefore, I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you.
那就是说呢，当至尊主要给诸佛马哈拉去祝福的时候，这个诸佛马哈拉就他说，我亲爱的主，因为我呢一直在寻觅着物质的财富、物质的地位，因此我就在从事非常严苛的各种各样的苦行忏悔。现在我终于获得了你，即便是那些。伟大的半神人、圣人和国王都心心念念的想征答你，却求而不得。我只不过一直在寻觅着一块碎玻璃，但是我却找到了最大的、最珍贵的珠宝。现在我非常的满足了，我不想。让你有任何的祈求，我不祈求你给我任何祝福。
So it doesn't matter what we try to achieve in material life, it cannot compare to the jewel of just one little attempt to serve Krishna.
所以说呢，不管是我们有什么大什么样的这种物质欲望的话，那么就是我们只要是能够对主做出一点点的奉献服务的努力，那份努力也可以被称为是最大的财宝。
So, this is how Krishna reciprocates with the devotee who comes to him with material desires.
所以说呢，如果说奉献者他是带着物质的欲望来到主的这个跟前去接近主的话，这个Krishna 他就会这样的去回应他。
And then the next thing that Lord Chaitanya is going to speak about is the good fortune of the devotee.
在接下来的篇章中，慈善家马哈佛布就是要讲到了奉献者的巨大的幸运。
And it's very interesting. We will discuss next time what is actually good fortune.
这是非常有意思的一个话题。我们下一周的就是要谈一谈究竟。对奉献者来说，什么是巨大的幸运？
So Lord Chaitanya is very methodical how he brings about the situation of the conditioned souls who come in contact with Krishna consciousness and gradually begin to engage in devotional service.
所以呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他是在这里呢，是非常有体系的，循序渐进的，就是介绍了一个受条件限制的灵魂是怎么接近 Krishna， 然后。进入了 Krishna 之觉的奉献服务之中，他是又怎么样一步一步的得到净化，最后达到这个完美的目标？
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sumuti Radha Mahati, 现在有问题吗？我们来看一下有没有问题。While waiting, you want to say a few words more?
Let's see what she says.
Wait a minute. 我顺便再讲一下，我们现在说到的是《玛加丽拉》中篇逍遥的第22章。那罗达昌法布今天讲到的是第43个时节。OK.Sumugi Radha Dasi 的问题 ，Hare Krishna， 感恩帕夫和 Mata 级的精彩讲课。请问奉献者在初期阶段，只要从事奉献服务，也被视为是解脱的境界，如何理解呢？我们还有痛苦。Thank you very much for your wonderful class. My question is, you mentioned in the class that even at the neophyte stage, as long as one performs devotional service.He is considered to be at the platform of liberation. How can we understand that statement? Because we are still full of misery. If someone is in misery, how can you say he's already at the platform of liberation?
Okay, that's a very good question.
你这个问题提得很好。
Because devotional service is not a material activity.
因为这个奉爱服务并不是世俗的活动。
And we may do some service to Krishna with an imperfect body, imperfect senses, imperfect mind.
我们可能是带着这种不完美的躯体、不完美的感官和不完美的心意，在为 Krishna 为主做一点奉献服务。
It's like.Using tools that are not very good tools.
就好像去用一个非常不太好用的一个工具。
But who is holding the tools?
但是到底是谁在手持着这个工具呢？
It's not the body, it's not the mind, it's the soul.
并不是这个躯体，也不是感官，而是灵魂在用这个工具。
The soul is already liberated.
灵魂已经是在解脱的层面。
It is only wrapped into an imperfect body.
只是被这个一个不完美的躯体所包裹了而已。
And there is no such a thing as a perfect body and perfect senses and perfect mind.
而且呢，这个世界上也不存在的这种完美的感官、完美的躯体、完美的心意。
But there is a perfect soul.
但是灵魂是完美的。
So when we engage in devotional service, despite all our material desires, we have to understand the liberated platform is on the platform of the soul, not on the platform of the body.
所以当我带着这个不完美的这个物质的感官心意。这些去从事这个奉爱服务的时候，我们要知道我们这里的这个灵魂是完美的，但是这个物质的这一切是不完美的。
But this is why Rupa Goswami also says that we need other elements to keep us strong.
所以 Rupa Goswami 就是说，我们还要去寻找到一些其他的因素，使我们一直保持着坚定。
Because the liberated platform is already there, it's just a question of being conscious of it.
其实这个解脱的境界已经在那里了，只不过就是我们还没有意识到。
For example, let's say you do an arti to the deities.
比如说，我们举个例子，你给神像做 arti。
Everyone in Vaikuntha Loka, everyone in Goloka Vrindavan do arti to Krishna.
在这个 Vaikuntha。还有在婆罗卡本大会，所有的人都对 Krishna 做 arti。
So what is the difference between you in China doing an arti to Krishna and the liberated souls in Vaikuntha doing an arti to Krishna? It's exactly the same procedure.
那么你在中国给 Krishna 做一个 arti， 那在 Vaikuntha 无忧星宿也做的灵魂给主做这个 arti， 那这两者有什么区别呢？从程序上来说的话是一样的。
Like I do my puja every day。
这好像说，好比说我每天都做 puja。
And I chant mantras when I do the puja。
那我做这个 puja 的时候呢，我就要念这个 mantra。
So a few days ago, I was reading about some pastimes between Krishna。And his associates in Vrindavan.
几天前我在阅读有关 Krishna 和他在 Vrindavan 的同游之间的那么一些逍遥时光。
And I was reading that they actually use the same mantras, they use the same substance, and they do the exact same thing that I am doing.
然后我就读到那逍遥时光的时候，我才意识到他们做的事情，他们念的 mantra。他们这个联姻的内容跟我在做铺垫的时候是一致的，一样的。
So it's exactly the same process, except that we do it on the liberated, on the pure platform, and I'm doing it on the conditional platform.
只不过这个程序其实都是一样的、一致的，只不过说他们是在一个纯粹的解脱的层面上去做的，而我呢，就是说是被限制的、被受条件限制的这样的一个。
So this is why hearing and chanting is so important because it puts us on the transcendental platforms.
所以聆听和念诵呢，这就是极其的重要的。因为通过这两者的话，我们就被放在了一个超然的层面上。
The other point is that to Krishna's eyes, even on a neophyte platform, he considers you liberated.
另外一点呢，就是我们说到的解脱呈现，实际上解脱境界是 Krishna 的眼里所看到的。就算是你充满了这个物质的愿望，但是当你去做这个服务的时候，在 Krishna 的眼里，你就是在解脱的境界的。
So we never hear of devotees going around saying, "Hey, look, I'm liberated now." Nobody says that.
你从来不会看到一个奉献者到处晃荡，然后说啊、哦，我已经到了这个。解脱的层面了。
No, we just do our service knowing that it is situated on the liberated platform.
我们只是呢非常认真的去做奉献服务，而且是心里是知道的，这个奉爱的服务是在解脱的层面上。
So next time you do arti to your deities.
所以下一次你为你的神像去做arti的时候。
You can remember that the same thing you will do when you are back in the spiritual world.
你就可以跟他想象呢，你回到了灵性世界的时候，你做的还是这个 arti， 没有什么变化。 下一个问题来自于吴秀红，请白姑姑请白翻译妈的题，感恩主持老师奉献者们。我有一位师姐吃纯素已经有两年了，想邀请她来进来学习可否？她刚阅读了佛家三论原义。那我猜这个提问的这个奉献者指的是一位佛教的师姐，对吧？Thank you very much for your wonderful class. I have a Buddhist sister, friend who practiced Buddhism for quite some time, for 2 years actually, and she has been a vegetarian for 2 years. I want to invite him to study Krishna consciousness together. She just read Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's the question, but she didn't say anything. Is that okay or not?
Yes,
or anything to pay attention to?
It's good to know the personality of your relationship.
Sorry.
What kind of person the
person
is. 那就
是说呢，你完全可以邀请他来学习。不过你要了解一下他的这个个性，他的状态是怎样。
Some people are intellectually inclined.
有一些人呢，他就是有这个寻求知识，有知识分子的那种倾向。
They want to receive knowledge.
那有些人呢，他们对这个知识非常的感兴趣。
Some people want to talk.
有些人他们喜欢交流，说话。
Some people want to engage their senses.
有些人呢，他们希望用自己的感官去投入到一定的活动中。
But it doesn't matter what people are interested in. You should always make sure.They take very tasty prasadam.
但是不管是这个人是什么样的个性，什么样的倾向，你要保证他能够品尝到非常美味的 prasadam.
Because prasadam purifies the senses and purifies the mind.
因为 prasadam 是可以去净化一个人的感官和心意的。
So whatever effort you're trying to make to bring someone to Krishna consciousness, believe me, prasadam will do it for you.
就是如果说你在努力的想把一个人带入到 Krishna 知觉中的话，那我可以向你保证，这个 prasadam 就是灵性的这个食物，一定是可以在这个过程中发挥巨大的作用的。
In the Upanishadamrita, Prabhupada gives the example that when you want to seal a business contract, you always take your customer to the restaurant.
那在这个 Upanishadamrita 就是教会的甘露当中，释迦牟尼他曾经提到说，如果你想跟你的客户去敲定一笔合同的话，通常你会带上你的客户到这个餐厅里面去吃饭。
So before you begin discussing Bhagavad Gita or Krishna, come make sure that this person takes Krishna prasadam.
所以说呢，当你要准备和一个人去讨论佛家三科原意啊，或者说是讨论这个知识之前呢，你要保证他能够有机会能够品尝到 prasadam。
And not just one time, but regularly.
而且不是说只是一次而已，要经常的去品尝这个 prasadam.
Okay.
好，下一个问题来自于一位新人，好，由 Sumuti Rada 转发。感恩帕布，您讲到了主尊马哈拉是带着巨大的物质欲望去做奉献服务，最终见到了主，到达了完美，也没有了物质的欲望，但是主还是满足了他的愿望。那我们如果带着欲望去修习，最终也是可以这样吗？比如说我现在真实的想法就是想要找个好对象结婚，哪怕是玩具我也需要有一个伴儿。物质的幸福虽然短暂，但是我还得好好的活着呀，我做不到放下一切只爱 Krishna. It's a very interesting question. In the class you mentioned that Dhruva Maharaj started to do devotional service or devotional practice with a lot of material desire. And at the end, he did meet the Lord face to face and also attained perfection and also be free from the material desires. Although he had no material desires, but the Supreme Lord still fulfilled his desires.Which was material.
Yes.
And so what happened to us if we also practice Krishna consciousness with desires, will we also end up with the Dhruva Maharaj situation. For example, honestly speaking, what I'm thinking is I wish that I can find a very good wife or a husband to marry. And I, even if it's like a toil, I really need someone to accompany me. I don't want to be alone. Although the happiness, material happiness is quite fleeting or temporary, I still want to live in this world peacefully, nicely. I still can't give up everything and just to love Krishna.
Is this Sumu Kevara's question?
No, I'm a new person.
Okay. How come the new person knows about your Mahayu story?
He just listened to you in the past.
No, I didn't explain what happens in Dhruva Maharaj.
He read it.
Yeah, well, that's not a new person. The thing is, we are not in a mature world to stay here forever.
就是有一点要清楚，就是说我们待在这个物质世界呢，不是要在这里长久的、永恒的待下去的。And
Krishna did satisfy Dhruva Maharaj's desire ultimately.
那最终呢，这个Krishna的确是满足了Dhruva Maharaj的愿望。But
Krishna made sure that whatever Dhruva receives, it's completely Krishna conscious, not Maya conscious.
但是呢 ，Krishna 呢，他也保证说，Dhruva Maharaj 他即便是获得了这些物质的财富，实现了物质的愿望的话，他依然是带着 Krishna 直觉，而不是一种 Maya 虚幻的直觉。
So Krishna gave him what is known as Dhruva Loka, which is actually the pole star.
所以呢，就是后来就是Krishna 是给了他一个 Dhruva Loka, Dhruva 星宿，也就是说这个北极星。
And that pole star, that Dhruva, that planet of Dhruva, is 100% purely Krishna conscious. There's no Maya there.
那在这个Dhruva Maharaj，也就是这个北极星的这些星宿，是一个100%的，没有一丝一毫的 Maya 虚幻能量的沾染。
Now, if you look at the story of Dhruva Maharaj, when he went back to his father.
那如果我们看就是关于Dhruva Maharaj的故事，后来又发生了什么呢？就是他回到了他的父王那里。
Everyone greeted him.
大家都迎接了他。
Everyone respected him.
大家都非常的尊重他。
So much so that he took over his father's kingdom.
然后他继承了他的父亲的王国。
Now, what happened in the story, which is in back home book, is that Dhruva's brother was killed by accident.
就是说，接下来发生的是什么？Dhruva的这个弟弟，他就是意外死亡，in the forest, killed by the
accident. Yes.
Okay.
So, how did Dhruva respond to this?
那关于他对于他的这个弟弟的意外死亡，这个Dhruva Maharaj 是作何回应呢？
He was a powerful Kshatriya, so he responded by taking revenge.
因为他是一个沙帝利亚，所以他有这种沙帝利的特质，就是当他的亲人被杀死的时候，那他就是要去报。And,
you know, he killed a few warriors.
所以呢，他就把那些杀死这个他弟弟的人给杀掉了。
But then he wanted to exterminate the entire tribe.
但是呢，他要把这个部落的人全部都消灭干净。
In other words, avenging his brother's death went way beyond any code of military art.
那换句话说呢，就是说，他的这种报复心实在是太强烈了，就是为了他的这个。 弟弟的意外身亡而燃起的这种复仇的这个怒火实在是太强烈了，以至于都已经超越了这个作为一个武士所应该有的这个操守。And
the demigod had to intervene and tell him to stop.
然后呢，就是这些半神人呢， 就没办法的，只能去介入，去阻止他的行动。
They say you don't need to do this. You already have Krishna's mercy.
然后呢，他们就是说你不必这样做，因为你已经获得了 Krishna 的仁慈了。
You have already attained the platform of pure devotional service.
你已经达到了这个奉爱服务的纯粹的境界了。
You already have the blessing of Lord Krishna.
你已经获得了主的这个祝福了。
So what you're doing is unnecessary.
所以你现在这样大动干戈是毫无必要的。
So that story is very instructive.
这个故事呢，其实也是发人深省的。
Because Krishna may give us something we may not even able to appreciate it.
但是有的时候 ，Krishna 所给予我们这个东西，我们可能还感受不到，还不知感恩。
So.We have to understand that whatever material facilities that Krishna gives us, it's not for us to enjoy, it's for us to use it in Krishna's service.
所以说我们要知道，不管是 Krishna 回报给了我们什么样的这种物质富裕、物质的条件，不是为了让你拿来自己去享受的，而是让你用来为 Krishna、为至尊主做奉献服务的。
And it is a very well-known fact that.Those who go to Krishna, they know they will lose everything.
而且大家都知道，就是来到 Krishna 的面前，就意味着可能会失去物质的一切。
That's why people go and worship Lord Shiva. They worship Ganesh. They worship Lakshmi. They worship the demigods because they get a lot of material benefits.
所以说呢，很多人就是选择去。崇拜这个 Shiva 神啊 ，Shiva 还有 Lakshmi 啊 ，Ganesh 像敌神这样的半神人，因为崇拜他们还可以得到一些物质的欲望，一些满足。
If you go to Krishna with material desires, you're not going to get a lot of results.
但是如果说你是带着物质的愿望去接近这个 Krishna 的话，那你可能也会得不到太多的回报。
Yesterday I was reading one sadhu was giving the meaning of the word Haribol.
我昨天就是看了一个视频，上面就是一位 sadhu 一位圣人在解释 Haribol 的含义。
Haribol.
Yeah, Haribol 的含义。
Haribuddha.
I said Haribol.
Haribol. Everybody says, hey, Haribol, Prabhu. Haribol, not a
deal. Haribol, Haribol. 大家都是这样互相。
We always say Haribol.
互相打招呼，不管是帕布还是麦凯迪，经常就是 Haribol 是不离口的。
Every time something is exciting, there is a joy, Haribol.
每一次有什么让你激动的事情发生的时候，你就会喝彩 joy Haribol.
But what is the meaning of Haribol?
但是这个词儿，这个 Haribol 到底是什么
？Why don't we say Krishna Bol instead of Haribol?
为什么我们不说 Krishna Bol， 却要说 Haribol 呢
？Because Hari.Is the name of Krishna for a very specific function.
就是作为 Krishna 的一个名字 ，Hari 呢，它实际上是有着扮演着一个特别的角色。
Hari is the name of Krishna that removes all material desires.
就是 Hari 呢，是代表的是 Krishna 的一个名字，它的内涵含义就是说是要驱除一切物质欲望的。
So when we say Haribol, we chant Krishna's name, begging to have all our material desires removed.
所以说呢，当我们去唱诵 Krishna 的圣名，去说 Haribol 的时候，实际上就是说去祈祷是 Krishna 能够把我们的一切的物质欲望都能够清除。
So it doesn't matter what we aspire for. To have a good wife, to have a good husband, to have a good situation. This is all good, as long as the ultimate motive.Is to use it in Krishna's service and not for our own pleasure.
那就是不管你有什么样的物质欲望，你是就像你这里说的，你是想结婚找个伴儿，然后找个丈夫，还要找个妻子，还要得到一些什么财富之类的，那只要是你得到这些是来不是拿来你自己的个人的物质享受的，而是想着怎么样去运用这些条件去为至尊主 Krishna 做奉献服务的，那就可以。
And as far as wanting to have a peaceful life in this material world, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen.
如果说 你还想在这个物质世界能够过上非常这个风平浪静的这个生活的话，那我很抱歉的回答你，这是不可能的。
No one has a peaceful life in this material world.
在这个世界上没有一个人有这种平静的所谓平静的这种世俗的物质生活，这是不可能的。
It's not meant, that's not the nature of the material world to give you peace. Peace is when you are back in the spiritual world.
那物质世界的这个本性如此啊，如果说你真的想要一种平静的这种生活的话，那是只有在灵性世界才能够找到。这个物质世界就是充满着这个风浪和磨难的。
然后呢？
OK， 下一个问题是来自于天元，感恩帕布和玛塔吉精彩的讲课。我们做奉化服务必须是按照规范守则去服务，那种对 Krishna 的爱是自发的爱，也要遵守规范性守则吗？Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. We are taught to perform devotional service according to the rules and regulations. What about those spontaneous love for Krishna?Does that also follow certain rules and regulations?
Very good question.
您的这个问题也问得很好。
This is going to be presented at the end of this chapter and the entire of the next chapter.
你的这个问题如果要回答的话呢，那我们会在这一章的末尾以及下一章的整个的一章当中去讨论。
But to give you a short answer, yes.Even on the pure platform, you still continue to follow rules and regulations.
但是如果长话短说的话，我给你一个简短的回答，就是的确是这样的。就算一个人他已经达到了是
，not because you need those rules and regulations, but you need to teach.
你去遵守这些规范原则，并不是说你在那个层面的时候还有这样的一种需要。而是你这样去做是为了以身作则，给别人教导。
So you will find that pure devotees and even Lord Chaitanya strictly.
所以你就会看到纯粹的奉献者，像即便是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu， 也是非常的严格的遵循着这些规范原则。
Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if I did not follow the rules of this world.Then people, this would not set a good example, and the world would collapse.
就算是佛家梵歌里面，其实他也是说到了，如果说他去遵循这个物质的规范原则，去这样生活，为人们树立一个榜样的话，那这个物质世界呢，就是也是会崩塌的。
So Krishna says, even I perform duties just for the sake of education.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就是说呢，我。之所以也要去以身作则的遵循这个规范原则，目的就是为了去教导世人。
There is only one place where no one follows any rules at any time, and that's in Vrindavan.
只有一个地方是那里的人是不需要去一步一趋的去遵守规范原则的。那个地方是哪儿呢？就是 Vrindavan.
I mean Goloka Vrindavan.
Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes.
瑜伽信实下面提出一个问题，尊敬的咕噜翻译顶拜们，奉献者家里有鬼魂吗？家里的确出现了，昨晚16岁的儿子半夜被吓着了，约朋友一起弄了很多桃木枝回来才告诉我，后来和我睡的，而且儿子也被莫名的吓到过，还有老公两个月还被上身了，我也有段时间很胆小。Are there ghosts in devotees' home? I did have that kind of experience in my own home. Like last night, my 16-year-old son was frightened in the middle of the night. And he went out with his friend to pick up some peach branches to chase away the ghosts. Later, he told me about that.My other son, the younger son, was also frightened by none or no reasons. And even 2 months ago, my husband had having both haunted experience. I also had a long time feeling very intimidated by the situation. So the question is, do the ghosts appear in the devotee's home?
Well, is all the members of the family devotees?
你家里的家里人都是奉献者吗？
Well, you're the only person in the family who practices Krishna consciousness.
还是你是家里面唯一的一个修持 Krishna 觉知的人呢？
And also, how clean is your house?
还有一个挺重要的，就是你家里面干净吗？
And how old is your house?
你的这个家。 那你这个房子究竟有多老，有多少年头了？
What is the location of your house?
你家的这个房子在什么位置？
What is around it?
周围的环境是怎样的？
What kind of people live there?
那个周围都住了一些什么样的人？
What's the history of the house?
这个房子，你住的这个房屋的有什么历史？
And you got to find out these things, otherwise pack your bags and move to a brand new place.
所以你得把这些事情搞清楚了，不然的话，恐怕就得收拾行李得搬家了。Right. She continues saying that what can I do? There are always things happening like this in our home. My son said I should sell the apartment or the house.
Yeah, well, I just asked for this question.
And she's the only person who practices Krishna consciousness at home for 6 years.
Yeah. So.
对这个你说的，你是一个人，这可能也是有一定的原因的。
There are many factors that can bring some bad vibrations to the house.
其实那一个房子里面，或者说一个公寓里面，它的那个能量的这个震荡有一些不同，有点奇怪，这个是有不同的这个原因。
Maybe it has to do with the people who used to live there before.
这个有的时候跟你之前住在这个房子里的人也可能有关。
Yeah. So one thing is you should.
It's a big family.
15 houses, 4 people, 1 big family, it's a small family. You should make sure the house is always perfectly clean.
有一点很重要，就是你要把这个房子经常的打扫的一尘不染。
Ghosts don't like cleanliness.
因为鬼魂就不喜欢特别干净的地方。
You should always keep books in the rooms, in every room. I mean, spiritual books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后你要在所有的这个房间里面呢, it's a new house without any history. 然后你的就是每一个房间你都要放一些灵性的这个书籍, and bhajan, like that, right?
Yeah, and bhajan playing.
然后就是你最好是这个bhajan就是放着这个唱诵的。
And never...
就是奉献者的家里, 经常是24小时都放着这个八项。
Never sleep in pitch dark. There should always be a little bit of light.
不要在这个伸手不见五指的这种黑暗的地方睡觉，就是你至少要开一个特别微弱的小灯。
Try that.
你可以试一试，那个。
Always make a family decision whether you want to move or not.
然后你或者说你们全家人一起商量一下，就是你要不要搬家。 It is probably has something to do with the history of that land.
Yeah.
有的时候也是跟那个就是那片地有关系，比如说开发商他选择这片地的历史有关，这一片。
And find out from the neighbors if any neighbors are experiencing the same thing.
然后呢，你也可以问一下你的这个邻居，他们是不是有相似的经历 ？And there's cockroaches.
No. You don't want cockroaches in the house.
那这个蟑螂是绝对不行的。家里面绝对不能有蟑螂，蟑螂其实就是不干净了。Okay.
No.
It's related. The last.
Right. That's Harivamsa.
Okay.
Are we finished here?
是好。那这个问题我们先回答到这儿哈。下一个问题来自于吴秀红，不是吴秀红说，感谢马太子，感谢布鲁，我已经听懂了，就是回应上面的一个问题的。 From the same person?
The
same person.
Okay.
And the last one is from Harivamsa.
Yes.
Oh, this is also related. Harivamsa says, 怎么确认是鬼压床还是要是手压在了胸口? You have to make sure it is not the ghost who is haunting you, then maybe your hand pressing your own chest, it may also create some fear or some uncomfortable experience.
Is that a hard answer's question?
Not a question, but he commented on the situation. How can we make sure it is the ghost who are haunting us instead of us tracking our own
anyway, or our
chest that creates the uncomfortable
Hari Vamsa, where have you been over the last few months? We don't hear from you anymore.
Hari Vamsa, 前面这几个月你都上哪去了? 我们好久没有你的消息了。 Working.
Okay. So, Mukhi Radha Mataji, any more questions?
Mukhi Radha Mataji, 还有问题吗？没有了。
Okay, thank you very much, Mukhi Radha Mataji.
感谢 Mukhi Radha Mataji.
Please pray for our protection here with the cyclone coming near.
这个我们这个飓风马上要登陆了，请奉献者，请大家为我们祈祷。
What did Hari Vamsa say?
I have been taking care of my son who was 3 years old.
Very good daddy, Hari Vamsa.
这个爸爸做得好，你是个好爸爸。
Thank you, Krishna Maharaji, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Maharaji 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees.
感谢所有奉献者的聆听。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Keshavesh Yatra Ki Jai,
Go Kamanande Hari Hari.